It has been a little while, but nonetheless, this morning we return to our survey of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Before we look together at some of the words of the Apostle Paul, again let us pray and acknowledge our need of the Lord's help to properly understand His truth. And so let us pray together. Our blessed Lord and Savior, You have revealed Yourself to be the prophet in Your church. You are the one who is able to open the hearts and minds of Your people. And so we ask, O Lord, come. You have promised that where two or three are gathered in Your name, there You are. And here we are confronted with Your word, a particular text You've brought us to in Your providence. Oh, we cry out, Lord, help us. Help us to understand and help us to walk in the light of Your truth. Guide us. We ask it for Your name's sake. Amen. How many of you here this past week said to yourself or to someone else, "Oh no, I forgot. I forgot. I was supposed to do such and such, and it simply slipped my mind." Anyone here possibly have that experience last week? Or in another situation, you sit here as parents. How often have you told your children before they were getting ready to go someplace, "Now don't forget to do such and such. Don't forget. Oh, Mom, I heard it. You don't have to tell me again. I won't forget." They go, they come home. They forgot. Oh, that brings forth a great lecture from Mom. But you know, husbands do not escape, do they? They are told as they are leaving, "Now, before you come home, don't forget such and such. Hey, gotcha." But they come home and they forgot. Some of us, oh, it's proneness to forget things, and we need reminders and more reminders and more reminders. And at my house, we have what's called sticky notes. I perhaps should say my wife uses sticky notes, and she puts them on my desk, she puts them on my Bible, she puts them on my coffee mat, she puts them on the back door when I go out, and I've even found them on my dashboard, reminding me. But sometimes I still forget, and she's threatened to put one on my forehead, but she said, "Then I know you wouldn't see it." And so reminders, reminders, because, oh, that remaining sin, we have this tendency to forget. And the Lord God Almighty, as He said through the psalmist in Psalm 139, He knows our frame. He knows how weak we are. And certainly as a Christian reading through your Bible, you've come across this matter in the Old Testament, the New Testament. What does the Lord God say? Remember. Don't forget. Remember these words. Remember this event. And in fact, for His Old Testament saints, to help them remember a greatest event in their history, there was the Passover, to remind them of the deliverance out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. God is faithful to His covenant, and that redemption came, that deliverance, through the blood of the Lamb. So they had this ceremony to remind them and to remember. We enter into the New Testament, and what has the Lord ordained in His church? The Lord's Supper. What is that? It's the time of remembrance. Remember Christ. Remember His person. Remember His great work. Remember His love. Remember who you are. Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Remember to whom you belong. So we need these little reminders. And it appears to me this morning in a text, in part anyway, we are encouraged to remember some things. Remember the basic truths of the Holy Gospel. Remember, remind yourself, keep these basic truths in your mind as much as you can in the forefront of your mind. For you see, what has your mind has your life. What has your mind affects your decisions. It affects how you respond to various situations. And so this morning we consider this matter of remembering, of being reminded. And so we'll focus on verses 14 and 15 of the second chapter. But since it's been a while we've been in the book, I'll go back to verse 1 of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him to be a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. And so as we study together our text for this morning, we'll start off, as you might suspect, by thinking about repetition. Repetition. Believers need to have God's truth repeated to them again and again and again. Repetition. And so you notice the opening words, remind them of these things. Remind them. Help them to remember. Bring these things to their attention. And as regards this matter of reminding them, that's a term that Paul likes to use. In fact, a little later on when we come to the epistle of Titus, you notice what he says in chapter 3, verse 1. Remind them. That's the word. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good. You've got to remind them of that, Titus, the people at Crete. For you see, in that day and age, just like our day and age, the civil leaders, oh, some of them the most immoral men, corrupt men, liars. But God has ordained civil government. You'll be submissive as long as they do not require or ask of you to deny or break any of God's commandments. You submit yourself. And so here, remember, remind. And again, we have these words before us that used by Peter when you look at that second epistle. Sometimes we refer to this text. And here's what Peter says. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the truth. You know these things, but I'm going to say it again. What do we have? Repetition. Repetition. Because you see the effects of sin upon us Oh, such good things have a way of slipping away. Such good things go from the forefront to the back of the mind. And oh, such rotten things can attach themselves, you see. So I want to remind you of these things. And we look again at our text, remind them. It's what we'll call a present imperative in what Paul is saying. Timothy, I know you're already doing this. I know you are reminding them. But what I'm telling you is, keep it up. Keep it up. Oh, yes, you'll always have someone say, oh, I know that. Like that commercial. Well, everybody knows that, you know. But you keep reminding of these things. What things? Well, in the preceding context, what's he been speaking about? Basically, the gospel. He says in verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ, seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And previous to this, he encouraged Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, and don't hold back entering into sufferings for the gospel. And he speaks about his death. He speaks about his resurrection. Remind them of these basic gospel truths. And you look again at the text in your English Bible, it says remind them, and that word them is italicized, and the translators are being very honest in saying it's not literally in the text, but it's implied. It's certainly implied to make sense of the text and to give some smoothness when it comes to reading. Remind them of these things. Well, who's the them? Well, we could say all the believers there at Ephesus. And certainly all the believers at Ephesus need to be reminded again and again of basic biblical truths. We read this and we need to be reminded. We're not so great and superior that we don't need to hear the gospel truths again and again. And if we have regenerate hearts, do we not enjoy them? Can we not be like the psalmist with reference to the word of God, the law of God, sweeter than taste of my honey? Or like a Jeremiah who says, I found your word and I ate them and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Should that not be the attitude of every believer when it comes to the word of God? It comes to the basic truths of the word of God. But then again, remind them, besides maybe application to all the people at Ephesus, to everyone who reads this letter, we go back in the second chapter, and you notice verse 2, in the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also, so that them could have reference to those that Timothy was training with regards the eldership. Those in the eldership, those who you're training for leadership, you remind them. They need to have these truths fixed in their minds. They need to consider them again and again, you see. And so there is this repetition, you see. And as I said, in the Word of God, there's to be this repetition. And consider when you go back, you remember what Moses taught in that sixth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. He brought out this fact that these things, this law, what's to be done? Well, it's to be memorized. It's to be talked about. And hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I've commanded you today shall be in your heart. You shall diligently teach them to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate. You're to think about and you're to talk about this word between your eyes. Your decision should be based, you see, upon the word of God. And then you look at Psalm 78, and what are we told? Well, we're told there that the parents are to teach their children the importance, you see, of family worship. And then, of course, this matter of catechizing our children. Question, answer, back and forth, get it in here! And it's amazing how this truth of God, when you're in a situation, someone asks the question, how some of those catechism answers come to your mind and give you a stone to step from to answer certain questions. All the importance of repetition, the importance of keeping this word within us. And then they have those words when you look at the book of Hebrews, Dr. White read this morning out of it, and you look at that second chapter. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. And the picture could very well be that of a boat at a dock, and it's been tied, but the rope has been loosed, and the boat begins to drift away. In your Christian life, have you ever known anyone that drifted away? They just drifted away from the truth. They drifted away. Where are they? No, we can't let these words, you see, slip away from. We meditate upon them. We think about them. But then you notice the statement that he makes. Charge them before the Lord. And it can go with what has preceded, and it goes certainly with what follows. Charge them before the Lord. The word charge simply means warn them. Warn them before the Lord. And so to me that lends a little weight to the fact that he's speaking about those being trained for the eldership especially. And so warn them before the Lord. Well, are we not always before the Lord? Are we not always in His presence? Do we not live and move in His being? And did not the psalmist say, where can you go from His Spirit? You cannot. But then again, there is that special before the Lord, that special presence of the Lord. You remember the psalmist says, come! Come into His presence with joy and thanksgiving. And we come into the presence of the Lord in a special way when we assemble together. So it seems to me here when he says, warn them, charging them before the Lord, it seems to be a solemn occasion. Maybe the church is together. Maybe it's an ordination service. You charge them. You warn them. There are those solemn times in the presence of the Lord, you see. And I know it's some cases hard to find, but a solemn occasion to me seems to be a wedding. But nowadays it's usually a circus. But what does the minister say, or what did he used to say? Dearly beloved, we are assembled here in the presence of God and these witnesses to unite this man and woman in holy matrimony. Isn't that a solemn occasion? Yes, joy, joy at the wedding. But a solemn occasion. Two lives. Taking vows before Almighty God that they will be together till death do they part. That's a pretty solemn occasion, isn't it? And another one, maybe I'm just letting off steam, has to do with a funeral. A funeral. Is that not solemn? Oh, well, we've got these memorial services, and once again, I've gone to a few. It's a circus. A person's died! Person's gone into eternity. And you're going to die. You're going to face God. Isn't that rather a solemn occasion? Isn't that a time that those who are in front of the minister should hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Solemn occasion. Timothy, you charge them before the Lord. repetition. Keep these things in mind. Go over them again and again and again. Now in the field of sports, football. Usually the football player is known to be in shape during season, and once the season is over, he gets fat and lazy. But I remember there was one who stayed in shape year-round. His name is Walter Payton, a great running back for the Chicago Bears. And I don't know if he ever missed a game because of injury, but the point I'm making, he stayed in shape year-round. He was always top-notch. He was always ready to go. Just because football season was over, he just didn't go sloppy. For us, always be working and laboring to have this word. Meditate day and night, as the psalmist says. Delight in the truth of God. Don't let it slip away. Well, we'll move from repetition, and if we're going to grow in grace and knowledge, we need some repetition. But then in the second place, strange as it sounds, if we're going to grow and develop in the Lord, we need some rejection. Repetition, rejection. You notice what is said here. Charging them before the Lord not to strive about words, to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Sounds like rejection. Timothy, you warn them before the Lord. There are just certain things they ought to reject. Striving about words to no profit. Battling about words to no profit. Now, this matter of words, do we not believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Scriptures? Are we not concerned about words, every word? Do we not analyze words? Well, we certainly do. Perhaps the key here is, when we go back to that first letter of Paul to Timothy, and here's what we come across, verse 3 of the first chapter. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification in the faith. And so hear these words that he's referring to. Timothy was at Ephesus at this time, and there were those who were getting all involved in fables and endless genealogies and various words. And then again, you pick it up in chapter 4, verse 7, but reject profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. Timothy, tell them that they're going to be confronted with various teachings, this, that, and the other thing. Reject it. Don't waste your time. Now, for many, it's kind of a personal situation, but there are some doctrines coming down the pike. Why waste your time? They don't benefit the believer. In fact, you notice what is said here. Words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. And that word ruin is pretty strong. You find it in 2 Peter, and it speaks about certain cities that were destroyed. And we know the whole purpose of the ministry is what? What? Edification. That's what the proclamation of the gospel is to do. Build people up in the faith. Increase their knowledge of God's Word. Increase their understanding of their responsibilities before God. How are they to live? Build them up! Make them strong! Help them better understand the truth of God. Edification. Building up. And again, this is the basketball season. March Madness is coming, and Some of these players that the colleges get come out of high school. Oh, they're tall, 6'8", 6'9", maybe up to 7'2", and skinny as a rail and couldn't beat their way out of that paper bag. What's that college do? They build those men up. There's a man at the U of A came in so skinny and within a short time, 30 pounds of muscle. What they do? Gave him a routine to work out, gave him a diet to follow, making him strong, building him up. Well, we're to be built up by the Word of God. It doesn't mean you're going to get bigger biceps. But you increase your knowledge, your understanding. You develop some patience. You're better able to witness. You're better able to cope with those temptations that come to you. Don't get involved in these words of no profit, this word machine. No. The Lord has ordained His servants to do what? Well, like Paul said, or Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. Tend my sheep. And as you know, Peter took that to heart because he picks it up when he writes his epistle. He says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And so we are to shepherd, meaning to tend. How do we shepherd? How do we build up? Well, we do so by the Word of God. And you remember what Paul said to the Ephesian elders? I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst those who are sanctified. When Jesus told Peter, He says, feed my sheep. There's a word there. If you wanted to be cute and kind of transliterated, you could put it this way. Don't bore my sheep. But isn't that what happens sometimes? It's boring. There's no edification. There's confusion. You're supposed to be edified under the preaching of the Word of God. Yes, there's conviction. Yes, there's the need for repentance. But the goal of the ministry, as you even read in 1 Corinthians 14 about those gifts, edification, the building up, the strengthening of the people of God, you see. And so here, Timothy, you warn them in the presence of God. Don't get in word battles. Don't get sidetracked. It ruins the hearers. The people are supposed to be built up in the faith. And what happens, you get all these little sidetracks and the people are involved in thinking about this and listening to this. And over here, they're not growing. They're not developing. It's about like a student in high school. He's got homework. He's got a test tomorrow. He needs to really study. He needs to prepare. He needs to be ready. But he just can't leave the smartphone alone in that little game he plays. He's ruining himself. He's going to fail. Build him up, Timothy. But then in the third place, you notice, rather briefly, a resolve here. A resolve. The resolve of the believer is to make sure that whatever his calling, he pleases God. Whatever his calling, he's to please God. You notice? Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Timothy, be diligent. You're going to have to be a worker. One who's not ashamed. You want to be approved to God. You want to please God. Your whole purpose for preparation and all of your work is not to please men. And that was what the scribes and the Pharisees did. Whatever they did, Jesus said they do for men. To please men. To get the flattery of men. And let's be honest, we all like flattery. Ooh, it gets you everywhere. But you do it for the approval of God, you see. Timothy, work. There's work involved in the ministry. And Paul speaks about his fellow workers. And you want to work so as not to be ashamed. What makes a man ashamed? With reference to his work. When is he ashamed? I know some people, you couldn't shame them if you had to. Why should someone be ashamed? Well, if they're flat out lazy. They don't do their work. They're sloppy. They ought to be ashamed. Timothy, you don't want to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth, and there's all kinds of talk about the use of the grammar there. Maybe it means reference to a straight road and in a forest, this or that. Rightly handling the word of God. That's what you got to do, Timothy. Rightly handle the word of God. Timothy, you want to present yourself approved of God. You want God to approve of your work. And as we read about that day, we want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Whatever your calling, whatever you do it for the honor of God. You want His approval. You want to do it in a way that is pleasing to Him. And of course, we need to remember our Lord and Savior. He came into this fallen world. What could He say toward the end? I always do those things that please my Father. And it was difficult. Oh, the opposition he faced and the hatred he faced. The adversary he faced. But he always did those things that pleased the Father. And a lot of times coaches tell their players, "Give it your all! Give it your all!" Jesus gave it His all. He gave Himself. And so we need to remember and think about Him. Whatever our calling, let us strive to be pleasing to God. We want His approval. And that means possibly on a Lord's Day to do a little reflecting upon our callings. How am I doing? Am I being lazy? Cutting corners? Cheating? Manipulating? Have I thought about the fact that I'm under the eye of God at all times? In the practice we talk about, one of the first things of a morning, let us remind ourselves, I am a man in the presence of God all day long. A man in the presence of God. And by His grace, may I so labor, may I so conduct myself, that I'm approved by Him. Amen. Our Lord God Almighty, Your word is so very sobering at times. And we thank You for this reminder. Because, Lord God, there is that tendency to become sloppy in our work, in our callings. Help us to remember that You have called us to various tasks. Lord God, we are always there as Your servants. And so may we not be discouraged, but may we be encouraged. And by Your grace, by the work of the Spirit, we can change. We can do better. Help us to give our all in whatever we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.